The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. Do you like your gravy thick and rich and loaded with creamy mushrooms? If no one was looking, would you chug the whole gravy boat?
Chug, 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 chug.
Stay tuned. Here comes Mr. Chug-a-Lug himself, Eric Metaxas.
Folks, welcome to Hour 2 on this program. I've got to announce something important. As you know, every once in a blue moon, we do a campaign with Food for the Poor. They are heroes. If you go to our website, metaxastalk.com, you'll see the banner. All of us have to give to something, and we have vetted Food for the Poor. They are as reputable an organization as it gets. We just partnered with them very briefly on helping the folks in the earthquake in Turkey and Syria, but we continue that campaign now, not for urgent earthquake relief, but to feed the hungry. We'll be talking about that in the days ahead, but go to metaxastalk.com, click on that banner, give what you can. Also got to mention, hard to believe, but tomorrow night, we are doing the first ever live stream of a Socrates in the City event. If you can't join us at the Union League Club tomorrow night to hear Eugenia Constantino, she has written a book, The Crucifixion of the King of Glory, one of the greatest books I have read. I want to tell you, it's amazing, but I also want to tell you, I am begging everybody who can to join us. This is historic. We're doing Socrates in the City live. You can watch it online with your family, but you have to register. You have to go to socratesinthecity.com. But please, please, please join us tomorrow night. It's historic. Socratesinthecity.com is the website. Click on the live stream, register, and join us live tomorrow night. Okay, I now get to talk to my friend John Zmierich for a few minutes. John, what else should we talk about today?
Well, I've got another piece at stream.org called AOC Warns Us, Ads Like He Gets Us Won't Stop Her From Coming to Get Us.
Okay, that's the Super Bowl ad.
Yeah, now I didn't know there was a Super Bowl happening, but I heard about it afterwards, and that there's this thing in the middle called a halftime where they have TV commercials. And in
Let me correct you. The Super Bowl has been happening for a half a century. It's good to ignore it. But halftime is really where they bring out kind of pornographic performers and things. It's not for the kids, let me tell you. But a lot of people do run these ads throughout the Super Bowl. You're referring to one that was about Jesus, and it was called He Gets Us. And it was a kind of a pro-Christian ad just designed to kind of pull people in and say, Jesus isn't a boogeyman of the religious right, but he is the savior of the world and he loves you.
Right. And so I looked they have a whole bunch of these ads. They created a whole campaign and they put several of them on the Super Bowl. And they seem to be a well-meaning effort to dismantle hostility towards Christianity, but I'm kind of uncomfortable because what they do is Jesus was an immigrant. He was a refugee. Jesus was poor. Jesus resisted the power structure. Jesus was a victim of capital punishment. All the things about Jesus that don't matter at all.
Did they say he was actually from Guatemala? Did they get that in?
Nicaragua. Nicaragua. Yeah. And you have to say it in that NPR accent.
Right.
So I was like, well, I'm mixed. I think the people who funded this were well-meaning. I think they probably hired a bunch of woke, tattooed Ivy League grads who are like, how can we make Jesus less repulsive? I know. We'll emphasize the fact that he had darker skin than say, Viking.
Yeah, he wasn't white.
He wasn't as white as
you realize that he wasn't white like the bad people.
That's right. And he was not a middle class suburbanite. He did not vote for Donald Trump. These are all things that they can do. He did not drive a gas powered car.
Look, I'm like you. I have really mixed feelings. I was asked to get involved in that campaign. And when I saw some of the people involved with it, I thought, you know, this just kind of like, yeah, I don't know. It's here's but anyway, basically, it's a good thing, I guess. But no, so what's your article about?
My article says it's basically giving the bully some money so he doesn't beat you up.
That's it. That's right.
But he's going to beat you up the next day. And you're never going to have enough money to pay off the bully because he just likes beating people up, even if you didn't have any money. He would pay you to let you beat him up. The bully is our Antichrist culture. And remaking Christianity to leave out the redemption, the virgin birth, the resurrection, the miracles, the sexual morality, which was extremely conservative by any standard, unless you throw that out the window, leaving out the fact that he demanded people worship him as God, leaving out all the things that set Jesus apart from every other victim of the Roman Empire and the Assyrian Empire and the and every empire in history. Right. In other words, the woke Jesus is just another dead guy who has absolutely no interest to me. I would rather read about the Vikings because at least they won. So this pathetic, wimpy pinata Jesus, Jesus was a loser like you. God loves everyone, even you. I had that printed up on a t-shirt once. So this kind of woke Christianity is actually the religion of the Antichrist.
It's Christianity today. It's where Christianity today has gone.
By the way,
a lot of well-meaning Christians have drifted over into this camp, and that's why I was uncomfortable with the campaign.
Yeah, I actually called that magazine Churchianity yesterday.
Yeah, it's sad, really, what has happened to that magazine. It's been taken over by nuts, basically. I mean,
how I feel as a Catholic. The whole the Vatican is basically Christianity today. If it were run as like a gay bar, that is the Vatican right now. So in my article, I talk about the fact that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has responded to the He Gets Us ad. She said in a really staggeringly candid tweet, she wrote, "Something tells me that Jesus would not spend millions of dollars on Super Bowl ads to make fascism look benign." Fascism. Okay. Yes, let's
call. But I mean, that's what the people who gave money to this like need to hear, that you try to make nice with the bully, and then the bully accuses you of trying to defend fascism. Yeah, that's nice.
Right. So fascism for Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is any positive mention of Jesus, even if you're talking about his undocumented immigrant status or his being a victim of the death penalty because they didn't have the Innocence Project in Palestine. It doesn't matter. If you are speaking positively about Jesus, that is fascism. This is the message of the Democratic Party. This is the message of the left, and the woke church, the David Frenches of this world, the Russell Moores of this world, who keep saying, look, we can buy peace. We'll just sell this and sell that, and then they'll leave us alone. They will never leave us in peace. They will persecute you. And even the woke Christians with like social justice tattoos, they're going to get sent to the gulag too, which to me is a little bit of cold comfort, but still.
It reminds me of that scene in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe where Edmund, the white witch kind of bribes him basically and says, oh, I'll make you my, you know, my special whatever. You'll be a king or something like that. You're being bribed by evil. And in the end, you will realize you've been a sucker. You've been used and abused. You need to stand against evil. But there are people who have taken the posture of Edmund from The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. This is before he repents, of course. But it's amazing to see that's exactly what has happening. You've talked about it a lot on this program, John. But that is really what has happened to a lot of mainstream evangelical Christians. And I want to be clear, that's why I wrote my book, Letter to the American Church, because there are many people who see through this just as you do. but they are kind of wondering what the heck's going on.
Yeah, I'm thankful to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez for her candor, for saying, you know, even if you join the patriotic church that obeys the orders of the Communist Party, we're still going to persecute you because we want to. We just want to.
I just think it's beautiful and gives us hope for America that a teenage barista could become a member of Congress.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. She was recruited during, they did a casting call, like for an acting role, and she showed up and apparently had the shiniest teeth.
And made the nicest lattes in the Bronx. John, I'm sorry we're out of time with you. We love you. Thank you for everything.
Thank
People
you,
go to stream.org, print out John's quiz, take it with your friends and family in the world, and we'll be right back.
In case you haven't been paying attention, the Biden administration has caused a financial crisis, and they have no clue how to fix it. Oil prices have skyrocketed, and when oil prices go up, the cost of transportation and shipping spikes, leading the prices of goods to rise. And when we're already seeing record inflation, that's the last thing we need. Our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. If all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It is real. It is physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold. They can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. Thanks to your support, Patriot Mobile has emerged as one of the leaders in the parallel economy, and they have big news. Patriot Mobile now offers service with all three major networks. This means if you're with the big three and like the service but hate their values, you can access them with Patriot Mobile. They also offer a performance guarantee. If you're not happy with your coverage, you can switch between the three major carriers for free. Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, offers nationwide coverage on the best 4G and 5G networks. So you get the same great service while supporting a company that fights to preserve our God-given rights and freedoms. This year, this new year, resolve to stop supporting companies that don't align with your values. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Eric, patriotmobile.com/Eric, or call them at 878-PATRIOT. Get free activation today with the offer code ERIC.
Ladies and gentlemen, as promised, Bill Donahue, founder of the Catholic League, stalwart on a number of levels. Bill, it is just an honor to have you back on the program. God bless you and welcome.
Thank you. Congratulations on your book.
Which book? I've written 14 books, and every time.
Well, the Letter to a Christian Nation, I believe it is.
A Letter to the American Church. Well,
yes.
Thrilled you're aware of it. That's
you're knocking it out of the park, and you deserve it. You're a great storyteller and a scholar.
Well, that is more than I deserve. Thank you very much. I want to start out with the least important thing. Maybe it's the most important thing. Your New York accent. One of the things I've enjoyed about you over the years, many years, decades now, is your New York accent. Where were you born?
Right here in New York City on 86th Street, Misericordia Hospital, which moved to the Bronx, and was raised in the city in Long Island. I've been in other places in California and Pittsburgh for about 15 years, but once it's in you, it's in you.
Well, here's the funny thing. I was born in Astoria, Queens.
Oh, I love
it. Along with my buddy John Zmirak, same hospital, because I'm Greek. You know, we're obliged by law. Greeks are obliged to be born in Astoria.
It was all Greek at one point.
But what's that?
It was all Greek at one point. Now it's very multicultural.
And we moved to Jackson Heights a couple of years after that. But we moved to Connecticut, Danbury, Connecticut, when I was still 8. And within months, I lost my Queens accent. My relatives commented on it. They said, what, Eric, what happened to you? So somehow, you know, I slipped the surly bonds of the Queens accent, but most people know if they listen to me long enough, where I'm coming from. I want to tell my audience. I already told them in the introduction, but you founded the Catholic League, and you've been in the media for decades now, really defending Christian values, defending the church. I mean, on and on. But you've now made a film called Walt's Disenchanted Kingdom about the nightmare that the Disney empire has become. I've talked about it a lot on this program, but now I get to talk to you, the man who made the film. So tell me, what prompted you to do this? Because I'm grateful that you did, but what got you going to make a film?
All right, let me dive right into that. But it was Father Bloom, a Jesuit who founded the Catholic League in 73. I kind of refounded it when it was falling apart in 93. So but I have to give him some credit.
Okay.
Now, what the final straw for me, Eric, you know, was about a year or so ago when the whole country was talking about DeSantis and what he was doing, saying I didn't want kids in kindergarten to third grade being subjected to all discussions about sexuality and thinking about changing your sex, et cetera. And of course, the American people were overwhelmingly on his side. Disney was resolute. Instead of being agnostic and staying out of it, or if you want to come in on the side of the traditional family values, they came in on the side of those people who want to subvert parental control. And I asked Tony Perkins, who's a great evangelical, heads of the Family Research Council, if you would join with me in meeting with Bob Chapek, who at that point was the CEO of Disney. Bob Iger has come back in. It was his predecessor and now his successor. And that was back on April the 8th of last year. Since you've met with the LGBT people, why not meet with a Catholic and a Protestant public figures? They blew us off, of course. And that's when I said to Tony, I said, you know, I can't take this any longer. We really have to expose Disney. And instead of just writing another article or doing another TV show or something like that, I think I really want to do something much stronger than that. And that's when I decided to do the documentary on how this family-friendly institution became just the opposite. And it's startling what's happened.
Well, you're being uncharacteristically mild, Bill. What Disney has become. Listen, I say this all the time. Those of us who've lived a few decades cannot help but be blown away, astonished at the nightmares unfolding around us. It's the kind of thing that, you know, people cry wolf sometimes and you begin to become inured to these things. And then when it actually happens, when you see Disney go from being a pro-America, pro-family company to not that great, to actively supporting things that are against what most sane Americans firmly believe, the idea of parents having rights over their kids, the idea on and on and on and on, love your country, very basic stuff. It's hard to process. And I the reason I go around and around the block on this is because I want people to understand, folks, I get the fact that it's hard to process. It's tough to take in that in our time, people running major corporations, Disney at the top of the list, have gone so woke that they're insane, that they are your enemies. And they're the enemies of your family, of your marriage, of your country, of American freedom. It's very difficult to process that this is happening, but we need to process it. We need to face it. We need to fight it. And we need, above all, never to give another dime to Disney to make sure that we vote with our pocketbooks and that we understand that what they have done is evil. And we need to push back. And if we don't push back, we deserve to go down, you know, the drain as a nation, as a culture, and we're on our way. So the film that you made, Walt's Disenchanted Kingdom, can be seen on salemnow.com. I want to be clear to people, go to salemnow.com. But I say all that, Bill, just because it's sometimes hard to grasp how dark things have become, you know, anybody who's paying attention.
Well, you know, yeah, I agree with, of course, everything you just said. And, you know, back in the mid-1980s, I was a professor at a small Catholic college in Pittsburgh, and I was one of the original members of joining the National Association of Scholars. I later became the Pittsburgh chapter president and the Pennsylvania chapter president and sat on the board of directors for 20 years. We were concerned about the lack of truth, lack of merit, the politicization of the Academy of Higher Education. At that time, back in the 80s, and it continued into the 90s and into the 2000s, you had a situation where the left was in control, obviously, of education, the media, entertainment industry, and the arts. What you've just mentioned is so important because it's no longer confined to those circles. It's now in the corporate 500.
Correct.
It's now in Disney. It's now in the healthcare industry. It's in the Pentagon. And I'm not meaning the average person who works there in these institutions who are good people. I'm talking about the elite. I'm talking about the ruling class. They have succumbed to the politics of the left. They are now leading the charge. And so we have our job. It's much more difficult. That's one of the reasons why I chose Disney. I wanted to make this a cultural marker that people would understand, you know, if they've gone woke, then where in the world is this country going to?
What do you expect if Disney's gone woke? What do you expect from Google or Apple or Nike or the NBA? What do you expect? But you're right. This is the classic long march through the institutions over the decades. It's the trickle down theory of culture. I mean, it used to be confined to the elites in the academy. I mean, if you think about it, I was at Yale in the 80s, along with my buddy John Zmirak. It was there then for sure. But anybody who thinks it got in the 60s, all you need to do is read William F. Buckley's book about Yale from the late 40s when he attended. It was already effectively taken over by atheists and communists. It's hard for us to imagine how many decades this has been working its way in. And it goes all the way back, but it has never come to full flower the way it is right now. So when we think of some place like Disney, or you think of, you mentioned, you know, the Pentagon, these places, the idea that they have bought into woke ideology, which we have to be blunt, it's madness. It's not just a different opinion. It's madness on any number of levels. But for Disney, I mean, we know if anybody would be rolling over in his grave, it'd be Walt Disney. That man loved this country. He had a vision, created something beautiful, and it's been hijacked by people who are the enemy of everything he stood for.
Well, that's true. And, you know, Marx got it wrong. He thought he was going to create his revolution on the basis of the working class and make an economic structuring. No, the cultural Marxists understood this better from Italy and from France and from Germany and the Frankfurt School in the 1960s. And they understood that you really have to get inside the culture. That's how you change things. Don't depend on the working class, because they certainly, the proletariat certainly did not turn out to be on the side of the Marxists. But the cultural Marxists understood, get into the schools, get into the churches, get into the places which disseminate ideas and the publishing houses and the media, and that's how you'll change the culture. So they certainly were a lot smarter than Marx. They understood that, and that's what we're faced with today.
Folks, I'm talking to Bill Donahue with the Catholic League. I just want to say you got to see Walt's Disenchanted Kingdom. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com. Check it out for yourself. We'll be right back. Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful at lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Just the other night, I was asked that question. Well, the owners of Relief Factor tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. That's right, designed to heal. And I agree with them. And the doctors who formulated Relief Factor for them selected the four best ingredients. Yes, 100% drug-free ingredients. And each one of them helps your body deal with inflammation. Each of the four ingredients deals with inflammation from a different metabolic pathway. That's the point. So approaching from four different angles may be why so many people find such wonderful relief. If you've got back pain, shoulder, neck, hip, knee, or foot pain from exercise or just getting older, you should order the 3-week quick start discounted to only $19.95 to see if it'll work for you. It has worked for about 70% of the 500,000 people who've tried it and have ordered more. I'm one of them. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to find out about this offer. Feel the difference.
Hey, get a rhythm. When you get the blues, come on, get a rhythm. When you get the blues, get a rock.
Folks, welcome back. I'm talking to Bill Donahue, who has made an important film. It's called Walt's Disenchanted Kingdom. You can see it at salemnow.com for free. Let me emphasize, for free, salemnow.com. I hope you'll check it out. Bill Donahue, you're talking about cultural Marxism and Gramsci, who was behind all of this. I don't know if you know, you probably know, but it seems amazing to me. Somebody, probably John Smirak, told me that Pete Buttigieg's father was the man who really pushed Gramsci and cultural Marxism at Notre Dame. There are people that really are the enemies of the founders' vision of American liberty, of self-government, and they've been working on this for decades and decades and decades. And here we are. Now we have these elites at places like Disney. We expect it from the New York Times, but at Disney, pushing things that are almost beyond belief, the sexualization of children, really evil things. And they seem to think that they can win. I don't think they will win, but it's only because folks like you and many others listening to this program are in the battle. So tell us what is in the film, Walt's Disenchanted Kingdom, at salemnow.com.
Well, the film not only has a number of very well-known public figures, Dr. Ben Carson, many others, but we interview employees, former and current employees of Disney, and they discuss how easy it is for them to put in the most radical ideas, and no one ever bothers to gatekeep them. It's really stunning. And by the way, it goes beyond even the sexualization, as you well know. Disney's now promoting the idea that America is a racist country, inherently racist. So they bought into the whole idea. No, but the movie basically shows the transformation of Disney as the great institution it once was into what it's become. And some of the material in there, I think it'll be startling to the viewer because, you know, I discuss this with a lot of people and I tell them what's going on. And these are everyday good American people. But they say to me, Bill, are you exaggerating?
Yes.
Is this really true?
No, Bill, this is the point. It's not believable. You've got to be exaggerating. And then you look into it and you realize, nope, he's not exaggerating. That's why I keep saying we have to process this, because it really seems like madness has been unleashed in our country on a level that most of us, we're just not prepared to take it in. But it's true. It's actually true.
But, you know, that is true. But it's also true. I don't believe there's any such a thing as an iron law of history. Things can change. Gramsci, for example, the cultural Marxist, on his deathbed, he converted back to Catholicism. I believe that this has to be a situation where the people from the bottom, you know, power to the people. That was the slogan in the 60s. Of course, they never really wanted that. But now it's bubbling up. It's not a percolating down. We have to revolt against the elites. We have to be insubordinate. We have to use every nonviolent tactic we have to submarine them and to subvert what they're trying to do to our institution. I am encouraged. I mean, that terrible pandemic, okay. But one good thing that came out of COVID, clearly, was that mothers in particular found out what was going on in the classroom. So now you've got this school board rebellion. I am encouraged by the number of non-whites who are becoming involved. And quite frankly, let me just say something here. I've mentioned this many, many times. If you want to find out who's selling the morally debased ideas around the world today, it's almost exclusively from North America and Europe. The well-educated white people are the ones who become deracinated. They're thoroughly secularized, militant secularism. You don't find this insanity throughout Latin America, Africa, the Middle East, and China and Russia. No, you have to go to the well-educated people who think that they're smarter than God. And that's the problem. Their problem is nature, and their problem is nature's God. That's what this entire fight is all about.
You say it perfectly. I often say the same thing slightly different way. They're at war with reality, and reality always wins. God has stacked the deck. The house wins. He invented the universe. He created reality. Truth is immutable. And so you can You can put on a good show for a while, but eventually one plus one always equals two. There are men and women, period. And so the folks, these cultural elites, are at war with reality. They're at war with God. You say nature's God. They're at war with nature's God, and they want to unmake and deconstruct everything they can. So when you're at war with God, you're at war with those made in his image, with humanity, with our common humanity. That's what we're seeing coming down from the cultural elites in the West, as you beautifully put it. That's exactly what the battle is, where we are. And I have hope as well as you.
You know, at least we can say one thing about the Marxists. While they were wrong about everything, they didn't understand human nature, they're wrong about the idea of history unfolding. At least they had a blueprint. They had an idea. You know, we get rid of the bad guys who were the capitalists, then we put the socialists in, then the communists, and then we have utopia. Okay, it was all crazy. But there's a difference. Postmodernism comes out of the 1960s, in France in particular, and it spread throughout the whole Western world. The attack on the idea of truth, you said it so eloquently. That's what the war is about. They don't believe there's such a thing as truth. And you know what? At least the Marxists, I say, they had an idea about making society better. These people are nihilists. All they want to do is annihilate everything that's out there because they know that socialism was a pipe dream that didn't work. They've got nothing left. They're like little brats wanting to tear down the house.
We're going to hear more from Bill Donahue. The film is Walt's Disenchanted Kingdom. You can see it at salemnow.com.
You used to say live and let live.
MyPillow is excited to bring you their biggest bedding sale ever. Get the Giza Dream bed sheets for as low as $29.98, a set of pillowcases for only $9.98, and rejuvenate your bed with a MyPillow mattress topper for as low as $99.99. They also have blankets in a variety of sizes, colors, and styles. They even have blankets for your pets. Get duvets, quilts, down comforters, body pillows, bolster pillows, and so much more. All the biggest discounts of the year are happening right now, so don't miss out. They're also extending their money-back guarantee for Christmas until March 1st, 2023, making them the perfect gifts for your friends, your family, and everyone you know. So go to MyPillow.com and use promo code ERIC or call 1-800-978-3057, and you'll get huge discounts on all MyPillow bedding products, including the Giza Dream bed sheets for as low as $29.98, and get all your shopping done now while quantities last. Again, use code ERIC and save. MyPillow.com. Folks, I'm talking to Bill Donahue with the Catholic League. And Bill, you just said that the postmodernists, and again, folks, you don't even need to understand this stuff because it's like, you know, it's just lunacy. You just know that it's lunacy and it's wrong. It's like trying to understand, you know, Jung or Freud. I would just skip it, frankly. But the point is that the postmodernists have been worming their way into the culture. When I was at Yale, Jacques Derrida came to visit. It was already there. And they've been working and working, working to undermine truth. And again, talk about a satanic project. Talk about a diabolical project to undermine the concept of truth, not to disagree on what the truth is, to undermine the very concept of truth. It is nihilistic. It is cynical. It is evil. My last book is called Is Atheism Dead? And it's just pure apologetics on how science is pointing to God, how archaeology is pointing to the veracity of the Bible. But I also go after atheism as a concept. A lot of people think of atheism, Marxism, Marxist atheism, as somehow neutral, secular. And you say, no. At the end of the day, it's a snake swallowing its own tail, which is on the cover of the book. It is a diabolical project, fundamentally cynical, destructive, nihilistic. And you are right that it's not about trying to build a new version of things, but it's trying to tear down everything in such a way that I think they're eating themselves. I mean, you're seeing it almost every day. There's a new, you know, the cancellation of Don Lemon, or on and on and on it goes, that you cannot prop up these ideas can only take you so far. They're all going down the drain, but they're somehow trying to make it sound like, you know, this is where we should be going somehow, spiraling down the drain.
Yes, and you know, I remember what Pope Benedict the 16th talked about on his homily before he became Pope, when he was Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger. He gave a homily about the dictatorship of relativism. That's what's going on here. The most intolerant people in our society today are on the left. They used to talk about freedom of speech. Listen, I wrote a PhD dissertation and two books on the ACLU. I know them well. They don't believe, they never did from the very beginning. It was always very selective, okay? They find a few Nazis once in a while to defend. They're not going to defend pro-life people because we're a bigger threat to them. No, it's all based on intolerance. You know, and this, I hope that the people listen, understand, when we say they don't believe in truth, this is an actual example. There's a British gal by the name of Pluckhouse, and she interviewed a woman who's a postmodernist, and she says, I know you deny the idea of truth. Let me ask you one question. Are giraffes bigger than ants? Are they taller? And the woman posed, there's a postmodernist philosopher, she stopped and she said, no, that's just a cultural idea. So everything is a social construct. By the way, when these people teach in the classroom, how can they give a grade to anybody in the class because there's no such thing as truth?
That's the whole point, is that what they're doing. And again, I want to say to people that, ladies and gentlemen, this is a spiritual battle between good and evil. This is not left and right. This is a spiritual battle, because what they're trying to do is undermine reality and truth as concepts, which destroys life as we know it. No normal person can live according to these ideas. And so we need to face who they are and what animates them. And what animates them, I'm sorry to say, it's heartbreaking and sick, but it's a diabolical project. When you are unable to say that there is this thing called reality, a giraffe is bigger than an ant. But I remember having a conversation probably 20 years ago with a woman someplace in Connecticut, you know, some sophisticated suburban pseudo-intellectual, who, when I pushed her and said, was the Holocaust evil? Because she was Jewish. And she said, well, yes, it's evil for me. Because that's true. It's evil for me. And I'm thinking, oh, so then it's not evil. Unable to speak clearly, to think clearly, because they've tied themselves in knots. And this is what they're trying to do to our children, to undermine the most basic things that all of us need to believe because they're true. The film that you made, who else is in the film? You mentioned Dr. Ben Carson. This is Walt's Disenchanted Kingdom, which is available at salemnow.com.
We have Brent Bozell, Media Research Council. We have Vivek Ramaswamy, great young guy. He's running for president now. Good luck with him. We have Miranda Devine on Fox News and writes for the New York Post. Mercedes Schlapp, or Mercy, Matt's wife, is the host of the movie. Let's see. We have Tony Perkins, Family Research Council. It's a good group of people. David Horowitz, one guy who's on the left a long time ago. He has some insightful comments to make. So, yeah, it's very good. You know, let me just say something about this whole idea, too, and about truth. You know, let's remember, a lot of these people are just plain stupid. Just not overrate them as, well, they're scholars. They hold the John Jones chair at some place. You know what I mean? I mean, let me tell you something. When I was a professor, I remember the faculty sitting around a table saying at an academic senate, maybe we shouldn't teach correct spelling because that's logocentrism. Oh, my God, logocentrism. And I looked around the room and I saw a lot of my professors, they were, you know, trying to be open-minded. Their heads were shaking. Maybe it could be some truth to that. I said, I just got one comment. They said, what's that, Bill? I said, in other words, when the people doing the payroll, if they scramble your name and address and you don't get your check, you're not going to complain, right? And all of a sudden, everybody just stared and looked at me. There was dead silence at the end of the discussion. These people are fundamentally stupid.
Well, it's funny. I wouldn't necessarily say stupid. I would say foolish, because you could have the highest IQ in the world and be a fool. And you could have a low IQ and be wise. And we see this over and over and over. And so when we're talking about these elites, these global elites, they might be, brilliant in terms of intelligence. But listen, Hitler was not stupid. You right. can have evil working with intelligence. And that's kind of where we are. It always goes back to Bill Buckley's famous comment that he'd rather be governed by the first, 300 names in the Boston phone book than by the faculty of Harvard. It is it's just a fact. If you're forced to deal with reality, which working class people, middle class people are forced to deal with reality, they can't live in the ideological bubble of the academy or wherever they are. You want those people to be on the jury, not the people who are on the faculty of Harvard or whatever it is. We'll be right back talking to Bill Donahue.
Make like a Mr. Milquetoast.
Folks, welcome back. Final segment with Bill Donahue, who's with the Catholic League and who's made a film, an important film. It's called Walt's Disenchanted Kingdom, which is available at salemnow.com. Most of us who grew up with Disney, who remember the wonderful world of Disney on Sunday nights, it's one thing for a company to drift. We talk about mission drift, right? But this is an astonishing fall from grace. I mean, this is just, it's hard to believe that a company once known for being pro-American and pro-freedom and pro-family has not just kind of gone wobbly, but has led the way in terms of going over to the dark side.
Yeah, it is. And that is the exact reason why we made the movie, because if Disney goes down, then the rest of the country could go down a lot quicker. And that's the thing that's been most disturbing to me in the last several years. The elites in so many of our institutions, which never got involved in the culture wars, they were always agnostic. They always stayed out of it. Or if they got involved at all, they would be on our side. They have now, the elites at the very top, have taken the role of the academy, of the professors, and they've accepted these nutty ideas. I do think the pushback has begun. I am mildly optimistic because these ideas are inherently insane. And I do think that sanity will win out in the end. But this is a time for Christians and people of all good faiths to step up and challenge them and do everything we can to subvert the dominant belt.
Well, listen, I say it again and again and again, folks, until Disney utterly repents and changes completely, you should never spend one thin dime on anything related to Disney. If you do, I'm sorry to say, you're feeding the beast that wants to eat you and your children and your grandchildren. You need to be aware of that. Now you know. It is very important that we take this seriously. And if you can't sacrifice that kind of thing, people have sacrificed their lives for the values that we're talking about here. And we need to get really serious about this. Walt Disney was a hero to so many Americans. And Bill, it's amazing when you think about institutions. We see this happen over and over again. An institution is hijacked. Yale and Harvard, even the New York Times, they were always left, but they have gone insane. A lot of these things, they're on the fumes, really, of what they once were. And you throw out these names and they have some cultural capital, and people say, oh, Yale, Harvard, Walt Disney. Oh, but man, if I had stock, boy, I would dump it. They are going down the drain. It's just inevitable.
Well, we have to be gutty, like the get back to DeSantis, because he was the one who started this whole thing by challenging Disney, which led me to do the movie. He was just totally distorted by Andrea Mitchell on NBC. And she said that he's against the idea that we're a racist country. He's not against teaching about slavery and racism. Nobody is in his right mind is against that. We're against the distortions of the 1619 Project, et cetera. So when Andrea Mitchell tried to say he was against the teaching of slavery, he notified NBC and MSNBC, there'll be no more interviews with you from anybody until you correct the record. And then she had to say, well, I was imprecise. Well, that was not exactly true. She was simply lying. But anyhow, she said she was imprecise. The point is this. there are a lot of DeSantis type people out there in senior positions. They've been misrepresented willfully. And unless they do what he has done and encourage others to rebel, this is just going to get worse. We cannot be spectators. We've got to be gladiators and get in the game, have some skin in the game.
That is exactly right. I try to say it all the time. Bill, just a privilege to have you. Folks, you've got to check it out. Walt's Disenchanted Kingdom, salemnow.com. Bill Donahue, God bless you, and thanks for being on today.
Thank you. Thank you. Great. Keep up the great work at Salem.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.